You can get your Bibles this morning and you can find your way over to the Gospel of Matthew. We've been considering the Gospel of Matthew in regards to where it fits with the Church of Israel and the Church of Grace in the end times. And each verse and many of the words in the verse, we could take hours and hours and hours upon looking through the scriptures just to fill in some of the blanks, because these things are foretold in the Old Testament. The regathering of Israel, the placing of Israel into the kingdom promise, this sort of thing. That's why it's so important that you understand what exactly the kingdom of God is and what your place in the kingdom is. For many years, and even today, the majority of Christianity thinks that when Jesus Christ comes back and gathers them, they go off and they live into the heavens somewhere. And that simply is not true. A very simple reading of 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe verse 17 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know, where the Lord is, we're going to be. And we know that from the scriptures that the Lord is going to be here on earth for at least 1,000 years, setting up his kingdom called the millennial reign. The church will be present with the Lord on the earth. But the belief that the church, that after you die and you're either resurrected or you're gathered together, you go into heaven, and heaven is this place where you stay forever with the Lord, is not supported by the scriptures. The scriptures teach that heaven is a repository. It's a place where things are held and things happen, and it's a place of God. But man was created with a body, soul, and a spirit, and he was created in the realm of the earth, and that's the realm in which man functions. And that's the realm in which Jesus Christ is coming back to. These and others, truths not understood, lead people to believe that you get gathered together and then what happens? For many years, that was it. I got gathered together, and then what happens after I get gathered? Nobody had a clue. Oh, we were all happy and we were all without pain and we were all, but nobody had a clue. And yet the word goes to much detail to teach us these things. We saw that Matthew 24 verse 9 indicated the word time. And we also learned in Daniel 9:27 that the desolation that causes abomination is set up in the middle of the week. And the week biblically here is represented by a year. We saw at the time that that abomination that is set up in the temple, when the people saw that, the people living at that period of time in the future, this was their sign, this was their cue as to what was transpiring and as to what period of time and how much time is left. You know, when they received Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there was a cue given for them to begin to follow the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the cue? They saw what? Cloven tongues of fire as it sat. Understand? This is a cue. This is a sign given to the people living at that time that when they see this set up, that yes, this is when the treaty gets broken. There's 3.5 years now we're entering into, and now this is determined as the great tribulation. We read in Revelation 12, verses 12 through 18, some of the tribulation that will be happening during that time. We saw that unbelieving Israel will go into apostasy. We saw that God will raise up witnesses to share his word throughout that period of time. The two great witnesses described in the book of Revelation with supernatural powers, the 144,000 among others of Israel and Gentile, will be preaching the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. That's what the central teaching will be. Many will be martyred. Many will be killed for their beliefs. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 15, again we read, When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read, let him understand. This is the sign, this is the cue when you see this. Then, then is time. Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. You know, it's as if things were going on and then all of a sudden somebody held up a sign. If I had a sign right here today, if I would have thought about it, I would have wrote the word exit. Okay, or I would have wrote the word fire. When you see, I hold up a sign that says fire, what are you going to do? You're going to exit, right? That's what this is to those people who are living at that period of time. When they see it, they know that this is the sign. This is what Jesus Christ spoke about. And they know that if they don't get out of Dodge quickly, that the events described here are going to come fast. And they're horrible events that's going to happen. Let them, which be in Judea, flee into the mountains. Verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. In other words, when you see this, you need to act quickly, because the end and the times and the events of those 3.5 years are going to happen quickly. Don't lollygag. Don't wait around. Don't procrastinate. Understand? The church is already gone. It's talking to Israel. It's talking specifically to those people in that area. And when that temple is desecrated, when that abomination is set up and that sign is there, don't wait around to see what's going to happen. Don't wait around to see if they're going to have a UN meeting to handle it. You understand? Now, I don't know if that's biblical. I'm just giving you an example. The point is, don't wait around. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are nursing in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. During this period of time, it's going to be great tribulation. Up until this period of time, there was tribulation. I showed you that very early on, before this period comes into fruition, that half of the population of the earth had already died. They do not consider, in biblical terms here, that as great tribulation. They consider that as tribulation. That's how it was put. Now it's going to be great tribulation, as if half the population of the earth dying from famine, from pestilence, from all these things isn't bad enough. He said that's just the beginning of sorrows. That's what he's saying here. That's how bad it's going to be. There shall be great tribulation. Verse 22 says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Unless, if this lasted, it would wipe out all humanity, is what he's saying. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. There's an elect's sake. There is a chosen people who are inhabiting the earth at that particular period of time, doing the will of God, speaking the word of God. And it is because of them in that period of time that these days are shortened. Just like today, that which withholdeth, that which restrains these things from coming to pass. There is a church of God today, the church of grace. And until the church of grace is removed, these things cannot come to pass. Once the church of grace is removed, God will have another church in place. He will have another elect. He will have another chosen group. And that group will minister the word to their generation. That group will speak forth for God in their administration, just like every administration that preceded us. God has always had a man. God has always had women. God has always had a group to herald forth his word. This is the elect. This is talking about Israel. Verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, what? He's lying. Don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false what? Prophets. Different men are going to rise up. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. These guys are going to be manifesting satanic power. So just the manifestation of power does not in and of itself validate the truth behind the power. You understand? Because the devil has power. What validates the truth behind the power is God's word, is compassion, is love, is the name of Jesus Christ being spoken, is he being glorified, or people being made whole. You understand? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to find out whether somebody's operating devil spirit power or the power of the Holy God. All you have to do is have common sense. Behold, I have told you before. Jesus Christ is warning the people what's going to happen. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in secret chambers, believe it not. When these things happen, this is Nick Catania and only Nick Catania, but I'm trying to get you to see what's going on in the world at that time. The treaty's broken. Israel flees. Israel's dispersed. God raises up these people to speak his word. These people are going around speaking the word. Now, the devil doesn't want the word being spoken. The devil came down to the earth with great fury, and he's going after the remnant of the woman. He's going after Israel. We already know all this. God bless you, honey. In chapter 12, we know all this. So the devil is pursuing Israel. He's pursuing those that have the word of God. Great wrath, the word of God says. Now, could it not be possible that working through a political system, the devil would formulate a strategy and insert moles into the system and say, Jesus is in the desert. Let's meet him in the desert. And this would draw out believers or people just to go to the Lord. You understand? It could be a deception. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm telling you, it very well could be a deception. Let's lie to these people so we can get these people in, and then we can exterminate them. Is this not a possible thought that a military government could do such a thing? I mean, have they ever done that before? Have you ever dealt with the IRS? Enough said. So, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. If they say there's a meeting, all the Christians are gathering over here, prophet so-and-so, or one of the two witnesses is going to be over here, and they're going to hold a meeting tonight, go not forth. See, there's going to be a lot of lying. There's going to be a lot of deception. Some of these events are described in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 and chapter 12. However, the entire book of Revelation, up until chapter 20, will fit into these verses somewhere. One of the problems with the book of Revelation is that when you study it, you'll see that the book of Revelation at times is out of chronological order. It's just, you read here and then you go over here and you read, it's out of order. At other times, an event is foretold, and then it's later described. So unless you have a good knowledge of the word and where it's going to fit, and you can go back to different sections in the gospel and different prophecies in the Old Testament, you'll be reading one thing that happened before another thing three chapters later, and it'll get you all messed up. This is not unusual in the word of God. The scriptures are like this in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Isaiah does the same thing. It's just out of order at times. Look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. All right. He's in the desert. Go not forth. He's in secret chambers. Go not forth. In other words, when he comes, his coming is going to, do you ever see a sky at night? Pitch black. And do you ever see the lightning start and streak across it? Everybody can see it. Not only is it visible to everybody, but it's also what? It's quick. It's fast. Lightning doesn't take 6 years to, you know, it's quick. That's the point. The point is when he does come, everybody's going to see it. It's not going to be done in a little room under a blue light, and that it's going to be quick. That's what's going to happen. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The word eagles is probably not a good translation, because eagles do not eat dead things. They like to eat sushi, real fresh sushi with the fins on it and stuff. So the word vulture, the other translations use, and that's what eats dead things, or vultures. When you walk, you ever see Roadhogs? That movie, huh? No, with the motorcycles. Wild hogs. They're in a desert, right? And they're out of gas, and he's pushing his motorcycle, and they're like sweating, and all of a sudden there's this vulture walking behind a guy with the motorcycle. And he stops, and he looks at the vulture, and the vulture stops. He turns around, he's pushing, and this vulture keeps, he's, why is he looking at me? He's just waiting. And he follows them. Vultures, when you see a bunch of vultures around, there's a dead body there. There's a dead body. They're circling. They're there. You understand? Here's the point. This is what he's saying. For wherever the carcass is, there will be the vultures gathered together. When you see that, you know that there's a dead body there. What he's saying is when you see these events happening, you're going to know that that's what's going, that's it. Here's the signs that these things are happening. You see all these things. It's coming to pass, in other words. Now, verse 29 says this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Immediately after those days. Immediately after those days. Immediately after what days? Immediately after billions of people will be dead, earthquakes, famines, sickness, hatred, and deception on massive scale. The desolation of abomination was set up 3.5 years prior. Babylon the Great, chapter 18 of Revelation, is destroyed. Etc., etc., etc. Immediately after all the great tribulation, it says that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven be shaken. Now look at the next words very carefully in verse 30, the first two words. And then is time again. Immediately after those days, but it says immediately. Immediately, as soon as it's over, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power. When is the sign of the Son of Man going to appear in heaven? What's the verse say? 29. The what? Tribulation. Got it? Because the sign of the Son of Man coming in power ends the tribulation. Because when he comes back, he finishes it. You understand? It's immediately after all of those things. So, until there's billions and billions of people dead, earthquakes and earthquakes, famines and sickness and hatred and deception, desolation of abomination, all these other things. Anybody who goes looking for a sign of the Son of Man in this administration or any other administration, you ain't going to see it. Because where the vultures are, there's also the body. The events that lead up to the sign of his coming being presented have to come to pass before the sign is presented. What is the sign? Who knows? I don't know. Nobody knows. Does anybody know the day and hour? You want to read later on. What? No. But we do know this. Before that sign can be manifested, which announces the second advent of Jesus Christ, which ends the tribulation period, okay? The tribulation period must first be in full swing. Last 7 years, a couple days left. You understand? That's the where it fits. Now, and there shall appear the sign, verse 30, of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Do all the tribes of the earth mourn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Does it say anything about any sign? Does it say anything about anybody else knowing about the gathering except the Christians? No. It's different. Two different times. They shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. Now, verse 30 through 37, okay, describe what happens after the tribulation period. How do I know that? Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. You understand? Now, from verses 30 through 37, he's going to describe what's going to happen after the tribulation of those days. You see, he ends the tribulation period with his return. The Church of Grace, listen, the Church of Grace is never once told to look for signs revealing the coming of the Son of Man. Do you know that? If you can show me one verse of Scripture in the New Testament, in the epistles written to the church, that teach that we should look for a sign that would show the coming of the Son of Man, I want you to write it down and hand it to me. The Church of Grace is never told to look for signs. They're told to watch, they're told to wait, they're told to serve, but they're never told to look for a sign. Because no sign is given at the rapture. He comes like this. But there is a sign given when he comes at the second advent. Look at verse 31. This describes what's going to happen now after he ends the tribulation period. You can put this together with the battle of Armageddon and Revelation. He finishes it. You put the devil in chains. You put the demons in chains. Now they're locked up for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ sets up his millennial kingdom here on earth. And he rules and reigns with us and their living, other living people here on the earth. On the earth. Not in heaven, on the earth. So far, all this stuff takes place where? On the earth. Everything takes place where? You guys are smart. Where? Where does the rapture take place? Everything talked about in the rapture takes place where? In the air. In the air. In the air. When we come back with him, we're coming back where? To the earth. He's setting up a kingdom for 1,000 years. Where is Jesus Christ going to be? Sitting on his throne where? On the earth. Where are we going to be? On the earth. On the earth. That's what the word teaches. Look at verse 31. He's back. The sign comes. Son of Man comes with great power and glory. We learned in verse 27 that as lightning comes, it's going to be quick. So it's bang, he's here. He shall send his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to another. When he comes back, one of the things he's going to do, he's going to have special angelic ministries. And he's going to say to his angels, angels, scour the earth and gather together my elect. That's what he's going to do. Ezekiel, Isaiah, you can read about this. It's talking about the regathering of Israel. So they're ready to enter into the kingdom. We don't have time to go there, but that's where you can read about it. Israel is his elect. So the trumpet blows and the angels go about their ministry. They find the elect. Why are the elect scattered? Because Satan came down with great fury and they had to run. Because of the desolation of the beast, they had to what? Flee. They're all over the place. But now the faithful, the elect, the faithful, they're gathered back together. 31. It's great trumpet, going to gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of the heavens to the other. Okay. 32. What is 32? Now learn a what? A parable. The chronology is interrupted. You understand? And he tells us the chronology is now interrupted by saying, now learn a what? Parable. Okay? He now gives the parables. And the parable is given as instruction and exhortation to those who will be living at that time going through these experiences. That's why he gives the parables now. He says, now learn the parable of a fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is what? Nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, you know it is near, even at the doors. Okay. He's encouraging the people who are going to be alive at that time to know that when they see all these horrible things, there's an end to it. And I'm going to come back, and things are going to be made right, and the kingdom's going to be established. The kingdom's been promised all throughout the Word of God. That's what he's saying. Now, without even getting figurative, because some people believe that every time you read the word fig tree, it's representative of Israel in the Bible, I just want to rather just understand the verse as it's written. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Now, don't take a bunch of geniuses to go outside. No, when springtime's here, you start to see the little leaves on the trees what? They start to bud, right? And if you've been living for a few years, you know that what's going right around the corner. Summer. So what he's saying is that when you start to see these things happen, the return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner. It's right around the corner, right? But what are the things that have to happen? Billions of people dead, wars, famine, all these things. Desolation of abomination set up. We know that from there's only 3.5 years left. This is encouragement to the people who will be living. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Okay. Then you got partial rapture position here where they say this happened when Jesus Christ died not too many years later and Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, etc., 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 which is a bunch of, I don't know what it is. Listen. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. He's speaking of the what? Future. He's speaking of the future. That's what he's talking about. Desolation of abomination, great tribulation, sign of the Son of Man. All this is in the what? Future. Future. It's going to happen. You see? Verse 34 does not apply to the people in whom he's teaching right now, his disciples and whoever else is listening. He's not saying to Peter or John, whoever else is there, this generation isn't going to pass before all these things happen. That's where they get their partial rapture theory because they say it had to happen within the next 30 years, 40 years. Okay? He didn't mean that generation. He's talking about the generation that these things are going to come to pass in at that period of time. Generation here has two possible meanings, the word and how it's used. It means the generation who will be alive at the time the book of Revelation is being lived out, because these things have a start. And especially the abomination of desolation. Once the abomination of desolation is set up, we know that from the scriptures, there's only 3.5 years left before Jesus Christ comes back. So in Daniel, we know that the tribulation period will last 7 years. The midline is 3.5 years, and this is the great tribulation. And then the return of Jesus Christ is here, the second advent. So a generation could easily fit in to this period of 7 years, couldn't it not? And what he's saying is that a generation could easily live through the 7 years of the tribulation unto the end, once these things start. That's what he's saying. Remember that I told you that once the church is raptured, listen, there are no scriptures that teach that the book of Revelation will start instantaneously. You with me? Once the church is raptured, here's the church, grace, it's out of here, okay? Here's the 7 year period here. There's a space of time between when the church is raptured and the first year of the 7 year end period starts. There's a space of time. Nobody knows, because the word does not teach. It's immediately after the rapture, the 7 years start. Okay? It's simple. Nowhere in the scriptures does it teach that. Now listen. We know that Daniel talks about the 7 years before Jesus Christ returns to earth. We know that we can mark the middle period of the 7 years once the treaty is broken and the desolation that causes abomination is set up in the temple. We know that there's only 3.5 years left after that. Okay, now a generation is generally 30 to 35 years. That's how a generation is defined. So Christ could accurately predict that once these things started, this generation that would be alive at that period of time could see, and this generation will not pass all these things come to pass. You understand? That's why I teach you that most of the people agree generally that between the rapture and the first of the 7 years, there's probably 30 to 50 years. That's how I come up with that, because the generation's going to be alive to see it. Now, I don't know that that's the truth. It could be longer, it could be shorter, but that's the best that we have as far as feeling out the word and how long it's going to take. Now, that's how the word generation is used, or it's used in its basic generic form, which is to mean Israel as a people. Israel will not pass away until all these things happen. Or it's used as kindred or family, this sort. So that's the two usages of the word generation here. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. It wasn't talking about the people hearing him at that time. It was talking about the people alive at that time, or it was talking about the nation of Israel. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that hour and of the day and hour, no man knows. The angels don't know. The only person who knows is what? God. Now, look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now he's comparing. He's using the word as, like or as. Okay? He's saying, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's talking about the second advent. He's not talking about the mystery. He's not talking about the gathering of the church. He has no understanding of the mystery. He doesn't understand the church of grace because it wasn't revealed yet, correct? And it wasn't prophesied in the Old Testament. These things you can go into the Old Testament and read about. For as in the days that were before the flood, verse 38, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. and knew not that the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Two shall be grinding, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour that your Lord doth come. All right. The chronology up until this point is talking about the end times. Okay? He's talking about immediately after the tribulation of those days. So all of the events have to happen before there can be an immediately after the tribulation of those days. Is that correct? Okay, immediately after the tribulation of those days, what are some of the immediate things that are going to happen in the tribulation of those days? Billions and billions of people dead, famines, earthquakes, Babylon falls, desolation set, all these things. See, because we read one verse and we go to another verse and we go, well, just keep it all together. That's what he's talking about. He's answering the original question, when shall these things be? What are going to be the signs that I come? He's still answering the question. And he's telling them what's going to happen. And he says, like the days of Noah, this is how the Son of Man's going to be. They're going to be eating and drinking. Two are going to be in the field. One's going to be grinding, such and such. In other words, they're going to be unprepared. They're just going to be living life, and they're going to be unprepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. The good man, if he known which hour the thief would come in, he wouldn't be there. Then he says, be ready, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. All right, so what have we seen? Matthew 24, verses 15 through 28, talk about things like the desolation abomination is set up, flee to the mountains, great tribulation, unless the days are shortened, nobody's going to live. People are going to lie, Christ is here, Christ is there. As lightning comes from the east and west, he's going to come, it's going to be coming quick. Verse 29 turns around, immediately after that, sun dark, moon dark, not light. Billions of people dead, earthquakes, famines, hatred, deception, desolation, Babylon, the great will fall, etc., etc., etc. Then, after all these things happen, then shall the sign of the Son of Man appear in heaven. He's going to come with great what? Glory. He's going to send out special angelic ministers. They're going to gather his elect, his faithful, Israel. Israel is going to be judged righteous, those that are the elect, those that are chosen, and they're going to given right to enter into the millennial kingdom. He turns around and says, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Nobody knows about this time. And then you know what we do when we get to verse 37? We forget everything we read, and now we got to go find Waldo. Because we got to put the Church of Grace in here somewhere. And we forget about everything we read, and now we got to find the Church of Grace in here. And this is how we do it. We go back and we read verse 37. As the days of Noah, where shall some coming of the Son of Man be? They were eating and drinking in the flood, giving in marriage. They didn't know. And then the Son of Man came. Two's going to be in the field. One's going to be taken. Two will be grinding. One will be taken. The other left. Watch, therefore, for you don't know when your Lord comes. Watch, therefore. But if the good man knew, therefore be ready, for you don't know when the Son of Man's coming, verse 44. So now we teach that two are in the field. One is taken and one is left. And we teach that two are grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. And because we got to fit the Church of Grace in here, you know what we say? When the one is taken, we say let's take it up in the rapture. That's what we teach. And when the two are grinding and the one is taken, you know what we teach? It's taken up in the rapture. The other is left. We got to watch. And we don't have everybody meeting the Lord anymore like Thessalonians teaches. We have individuals meeting the Lord, the ones who were ready, the ones who were prepared, the ones who obtained some special sort of righteousness or some special get-out-of-jail-free card from Jesus Christ that the rest of the body never got, because his blood wasn't good enough to provide it for us. Look at Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's comparing the days of Noah to how his second advent is going to happen and what's going to take place. They were happy, drinking, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they didn't know that the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. What is the context here that we've been reading about for the last 4 weeks? The context is the answer to the question of the end times and the return of Jesus Christ. That's the context. And he's going to come to earth to set up the kingdom. That's his millennial reign. It's been promised to him throughout the Old Testament. It is a time of great wrath spoken of in the scriptures. It is a time described in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, among other places, as the day of the Lord, as the day of wrath, as the great tribulation, as the day of Christ, etc. In other words, it's a day of God's what? Judgment on the earth. It's a day of God's judgment on the earth. Anybody disagree with that? You can't, because it is. Because all these things happening is God's judgment on the earth. When God judged mankind for the evil of their hearts in the day of Noah, what did he do? Because the scripture says, like as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So if we're going to be biblically accurate, we got to go and we got to see what's going on in the days of Noah, because Jesus Christ is saying that's where the answer is lying to what I'm teaching. Genesis 6. You don't want to go there? Fine with me. Just listen. And we're concerned with the question, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In Genesis 6, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, etc., etc. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil, what? Continually. Man was bad. He was evil. It just multiplied. It repented, verse 6, the Lord, that he made man on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will what? Destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and includes dogs, tomato-eating dogs, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I had made them. God's mad. And so God's going to bring what? Judgment upon the earth. You got it? Verse 8, praise God for this, Guido, huh? But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. The whole earth was bad. The only one that God could find that found grace in his eyes was what? And see, that should answer the question about a lot of these denominational churches today. You got millions and millions of people out there, you understand? Saying this and saying that and living this way and living that way. But if the odds are true to form, look at the odds here. How many people you want to say were alive at that time? A few million? Whatever? What were the odds? Million to one? See, God doesn't look at numbers. God doesn't look at pomp. God doesn't look at all that stuff. He looks at the individual heart, and is he standing on the truth? And will he represent him accurately? Matthew 24. Just hold your finger in Genesis, but I'm going to read it to you again. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, etc., until, in other words, they were just living their lives, not prepared for what Noah was preaching. The flood came, it took them all away. So shall, listen, he ends it, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, The same day were the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And it rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. But in the selfsame day it entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and their wives, three wives, kids, into the ark. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it lifted it up off the earth. Verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Both men and cattle and creeping things and fowls of heaven, they were all destroyed. Only Noah remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Now you all know the story. We're not reading anything to you that you already don't know, correct? Two by two, the animals came. We sing songs about it. Verse 24. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. All right. So, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now listen. Who were the only people left after the flood? In the ark, right? Okay. Why were they left? Well, the scripture says, because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, talking about the angels that caused the flood. Not all the angels are in hell. Trust me. Trust the word. Don't trust me. And spared not the old world. Verse 5. Watch how it ties together. But save Noah, the eight persons, a preacher of what? Bringing in the flood upon the world of the what? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The flood came in upon the world of the what? Ungodly. During the tribulation time, who will be the preachers of righteousness during that period of time? Israel, for the most part. Israel, for the most part. Okay? Faithful Israel, I should say, for the most part. You see, the flood was God's judgment on the earth. Those who were taken away by the flood was taken away into God's judgment unto death, right? The flood was God's judgment upon the earth. Those who were taken away by the flood were taken away unto judgment, unto death. Now listen very carefully. Those who remained behind were left to re-inhabit and repopulate the earth, namely Noah and his family. Right? Sure, it's right. Those who were taken by the waters of the flood were taken into the judgment of God. Those who were left behind were left to live on the earth to re-inhabit and repopulate it. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch this. Verse 38, they were marrying, drinking, giving in marriage. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Took who all away? The judgment of God took the unrighteous all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, one shall be left. Okay, it took them all away. The flood took them away. The person who gets taken away, you know what they teach? That's the rapture. You know what the Bible teaches? As in the day of Noah, the ones that got taken away to what? Judgment. You know who the one that was left? They were left where? On the earth. You know why they were left on the earth? Because they were found righteous. And you know what they were rewarded with? Enter into the kingdom prepared for you, the millennial reign. The one taken away is taken away into judgment. The one left is the one left to go into enter into the millennial kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken away, the other shall be left. So you know what we teach? The one that's taken away is taken away into the rapture, because we got to find Waldo here somewhere, right? The one who was taken away is taken away in judgment. The one who is left on the earth to inherit the kingdom prepared, the promise of the kingdom, the regathering of Israel. The regathering of Israel. The two in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. The one taken will be taken like in the days of Noah. They were taken away to judgment. The other will be left. The one left will be left to enter into the kingdom. The two women grinding at the mill, one will be left, one will be taken. The one will be taken will be like just as in the days of Noah, taken to judgment. The other will be left to enter into the kingdom. Now, once these people are left on the earth, the others are taken away under judgment, the others are left. The one in the field's left, the one in the, they're left. Why are they left here? They're alive. They survived Armageddon. They survived the second return. The judgment of faithful Israel now and those that were unrighteous in Israel is being judged. Some are taken out into judgment. The others are left. Why were they left in the days of Noah? You guys are smart. To re-inhabit and re-what? Populate the earth. Because these people get to walk into the millennial kingdom. And they get to inhabit and repopulate the earth. And that's what Jesus came to establish. His kingdom here on earth. You see it? And that's logical, that's in context, and that fits with the entire, and you don't have to go and say the church of grace is not born again by grace, that only some are saved, and you don't have to close your eyes and walk around and skip all these hundreds of other scriptures that teach that we're saved by grace. Revelation 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation says the kingdoms of what world? This world. It doesn't say the kingdoms of heaven, where he's building mansions and whatever else you want to conjure up in your mind, because there's no description up there in the Word of God. We just pull verses that we don't understand. It says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his what? Christ, Messiah, the King of the kingdom. He's the Christ, the Christos, the chosen one. He comes back to the earth and he says, now everything's mine. In those days, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom whose end will have no end. It's talked about in the book of Daniel. You go read about it yourself. This is the kingdom he's talking about. He's setting the kingdom up. And finally, promise from all the Old Testament, promise, the kingdom, 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 kingdom. Now it's all over. God sets his king in the kingdom. And it's the whole world, the earth that we're living in. And it says, of his Christ, and he shall reign for what? Ever and ever. You know what that means? It means forever and ever. Look at Luke. We're closed now. Chapter 1. See, if you don't understand the kingdom of God and who the kingdom is offered to, you'll never put together the scriptures with regards to the second coming or the rapture. You can't do it. Because without a knowledge of the kingdom, you won't understand what he's talking about. You'll read over scriptures a lifetime. You'll say, what does that mean? You'll just read over them. Luke 1, verse 31. Listen to the announcement. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth the Son, and he shall be called Jesus. His name's going to be Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, what? David. A throne is something you rule over a what? Kingdom with. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his what? Kingdom there shall be no end. What kingdom is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That's going to be set up here. A literal political kingdom on the earth with Jesus Christ ruling from Jerusalem as the king. That's what it's talking about. This is why he was born. He was born to redeem mankind and to reign in the kingdom with mankind here on the earth. This is the central theme of Jesus Christ's preaching. His central theme of Jesus Christ's preaching was always about the kingdom, and kingdom. And you know what? For the most part, nobody knows nothing about the kingdom. We've missed it. It's the kingdom. Let's close in Matthew 4. You know, Jesus Christ got taken away, tempted by the devil, all of those things. You know what the first thing he did once that temptation was over? Matthew 4 describes it. Verse 17, if you read the verses preceding that, you'll see the temptation. When you get to verse 17, look what it says. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? And he never stopped preaching that. He never stopped preaching it. He preached the kingdom of heaven. He preached the kingdom of God. See, back in the days, they knew what the kingdom was. They were promised the kingdom. They were promised a place where they can dwell in safety with Messiah, with Christ, with Christos ruling over them. They look forward to it. That's why they asked in the book of Acts, will now at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? It wasn't a dumb question. It was the most logical, anticipated question that you could possibly ask. We've been waiting for this for all this time. We know that the scriptures prophesied of the Old Testament. Now, Lord, is this the time? Is this the time? And he said, it's not for you to know the time or the hour, which the Father has put in his own hands, right? This is what this is talking about. The reign, the millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ will begin to set up, and then the eternal kingdom that will last for all eternity with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. And thank you, Father, that we have such a promise, such a hope to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ and set up a literal physical kingdom here on earth for at least 1,000 years, Father, to reign with our Lord Jesus and to live and to rule here on the earth and help him orchestrate his government on the earth. And Father, thank you that we have this to look forward to, and we can do everything that we can possibly do to respond to your love and your goodness, Father. And that's all you're asking, is just our response to your love and goodness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.